Good morning. Let's prepare our hearts for worship as we sing our hymn of preparation. Welcome to Main Street United Methodist Church this morning. Marilyn Polk is out of town for the day. She'll be back this evening. I am Lee Roberts, congregational nurse. Just want to bring your attention to three short announcements that are in your bulletin. First one, Vacation Bible School is scheduled for June 25th through 29th. The dates that are posted in your bulletin are incorrect. Let me give you the correct dates for sign up. The correct dates for sign up pre-registration for Vacation Bible School are Sunday, June 10th and Sunday, June 17th. Again, those dates in your bulletin are incorrect. The correct dates are June 10th and June 17th. We still would be able to handle extra volunteers for teachers, helpers, kitchen helpers, crafts, youth assistants. Basically, if you would like to help with Vacation Bible School, we can certainly find a place for you. We need people of all ages and stages, men included. This is not just a woman-run event. Please get in touch with Kathy Kelly in the church office if you would like to help with Vacation Bible School. Several things are occurring today I want to bring your attention to. First one is the Administrative Council meeting at 4 o'clock today. Visioning team is at 5:30 today. And the Youth Elevate Coffee House is today from 6 to 8 p.m. The youth will be providing coffee, dessert, worship with music, youth testimonies, and fellowship. Again, this is open for all ages also. The Westside Community Garden work days are Thursday, May 24th and 31st from 4:30 to 7 o'clock. This garden is located at 324 Mineral Avenue. Contact the church office if you would like to help or want more information. That being all the announcements, we now welcome the light of Christ.
Will all who are able please stand for the call to worship? We gather in this place, some empty, some filled, some whole, some broken. We come with these ordinary people who have shown us the way. We surround the table of grace so we might be fed the bread of life.
Please be seated. While we claim to celebrate the ascension of our Lord, the way we live proclaims our lack of faith in his power to deal with the world. Let us confess the incongruity between our faith and practice. Please join me in the unison prayer of confession, followed by a time of silent and personal confession. We come, O Lord, on this day of glory, to confess our lack of trust. While we sing of your lordship over all creation, we have too often acted as though you are powerless in the face of today's events. Help us to live with confidence in your presence today and in hope for life with you forever. Amen.
Hear the good news of the gospel. If anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. And he is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. In Christ, we are forgiven. Thanks be to God.
In the first book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus did and taught from the beginning until the day when he was taken up to heaven, after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen. After his suffering, he presented himself alive to them by many convincing proofs, appearing to them over the course of 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. While staying with them, he ordered them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father. This, he said, is what you have heard from me. For John baptized the water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. So when they had come together, they asked him, Lord, is this the time when you will restore the kingdom to Israel? He replied, It is not for you to know the times or periods that the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witness in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. When he had said this, as they were watching, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. While he was going, and they were gazing up towards heaven, suddenly, two men in white robes stood by them. They said, Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking up towards heaven? This Jesus, who has been taken up from you into heaven, will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven. The gospel lesson for today is from the gospel according to Luke chapter 24, verses 44 through 53. Please stand for the reading of the gospel. Then he said to them, These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms must be fulfilled. Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures, and he said to them, Thus it is written that the Messiah is to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins is to be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. And see, I am sending upon you what your father promised. So stay here in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high. Then he led them out as far as Bethany, and lifting up his hands, he blessed them. While he was blessing them, he withdrew from them and was carried up into heaven. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. And they were continually in the temple blessing God. The word of the God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
We'd like to go to prayer at this time, remembering the needs within our church. Walter Roark is looking forward to getting out of rehab and going to Wesley Commons. Sarah Callison is home now, recuperating, and hopefully will continue to heal. And we pray for Billy Tunstall, Jay Pendergrass, Jackie, Daniel, Wesley, Tanya Hodges, and Dan. And I received a call yesterday, late yesterday evening, for Charlie Dent. Most of you know that she has had a lot of health issues in her short lifetime, and we pray for her. She has a mass close to her kidneys, but it is not cancerous, so they don't know now exactly what it is. Let us be in an attitude of prayer. Holy God, as we remember these of our church family and others within our hearts and our minds, we pray that you, dear God, would indeed touch them in that wonderful way that you touch us in our times of needs, whether it's through friends and family, spiritually through your precious Holy Spirit, through the hands of physicians and doctors and staff, with medications, whatever those areas are, dear God, and whatever the response, we know that all healing comes from you, and we thank you for the power of prayer. We pray, dear God, that you would work within these lives to accomplish that which you will. Again, we pray for those who are away from home during this time, whether on the battlefields, and we pray for those during this past week who have paid the ultimate sacrifice and for their families, and those who are missionaries, those whom we don't know are in harm's way, maybe at this very moment. Dear God, we thank you for those who will respond faithfully to the commission that you call to us to go into all the world and proclaim the gospel. We pray for the young people that have left this very church and are serving in so many wondrous and wonderful ways. Again, we pray for leadership within our church, for our bishops, and for our president within our civil government and those in leadership under him. Lead us, O God, as a country in the way, again, that you would have for us to go, that we might be an instrument of your peace. And we pray that you will continue to watch over us as we worship this day, and that your holy presence be with us. In Christ's name, amen. Let's continue to worship God now with our morning tithing offering. Ushers, would you come, please?
Jesus can help.
Holy God, we bring these gifts to this altar, giving them to you. Bless these gifts, dear God. May they touch the lives of men and women throughout this world in so many wonderful ways. And may they go forward from here as our love to them. Bless giver and gift, those who have not and those who chose not to give this day. It is to you we give glory, honor, and praise. In Christ's name, amen.
Please be seated. We invite the children forward for the children's message.
Everybody's leaving me. You gotta come up closer. Good morning, everybody. A lot of y'all were with Miss Angela and I in Sunday school this morning. And what have we been talking about the last several weeks? Who remembers? Pentecost, that's right. And Pentecost is gonna be next Sunday. And so today is the day that we remember when Jesus ascended into heaven. What does that mean? What did he do? Do y'all remember? Nobody? Where were y'all in Sunday school? Y'all were just not paying attention this morning? Okay, that's when Jesus went up to heaven. And how do you think the disciples felt when Jesus went back to heaven? How do y'all feel about school ending? You're kind of excited about it being the end of the year, but then maybe a little bit. What about you, Colton? You're happy about school ending? That's all. You just feel happy. I'm a little bit happy too, Colton. But sometimes we feel happy and excited, like the disciples would have felt, that Jesus was going to heaven. But then also maybe you feel a little bit sad because what if you don't get to see some of your friends over the summer? Or like Sam told me the other day, he was really excited that school was about over, but he really, really likes his teacher this year. And so he was kind of sad that he only had a few more days with her. And so maybe the disciples, do you think maybe they felt that way a little bit? Maybe a little uncertain? But what did Jesus promise them?
That he would come back.
And then what was he going to send? Sam, you were listening. That's right. And we talked in Sunday school about how, what are some of the things that we can see in our everyday life that remind us of the Holy Spirit? Y'all know. You wrote them on your piece of paper this morning. You drew a picture. A candle, that's right, because of the flame and the song that we sang, the wind, that's right. So as you finish up school in just a few more days and you're feeling excited about it being summertime, but maybe you're feeling a little bit sad about maybe not being able to see your friends, remember that when Jesus went to heaven, he really didn't leave us. He stays with us through the Holy Spirit, and he lives in our hearts. That's right. So we want to always remember that even though Jesus is in heaven, he's still with us, that he didn't leave us or abandon us, that he is still right here with us. All right, let's pray. Y'all can repeat after me. Dear Jesus, thank you so much for loving us and never leaving us. And thank you for always being there. We love you. Amen.
Hail, Mother, thy sins and rise.
be seated. I think that you fully understand by now that one of the things that we have been endeavoring to do during these last few weeks of Easter is to reclaim the church year. And today we come to what is the evening of the day of resurrection. It's hard to imagine that these events that we have been celebrating in the last few weeks are the events that took place on the day of resurrection. Jesus has had two times when he has eaten with his disciples, and one of those was in the latter part of the reading that we had today. We remember the other time that we had a meal together here at the church was on Thomas Sunday, when we acknowledged that Thomas had a reawakening or a resurrection experience. The other time that Jesus had a meal with his disciples was on the Emmaus Road when he appeared to them. And here in this passage, he appears again inside of this closed-in room with his disciples. I cannot help but to stop and to think about the meals that I have enjoyed in my lifetime that are a special memory to me. I can remember a few times when sitting at the table, my dad would give me some type of instructions for life. It was a time when we would share together, and I knew that my father's concern for me and for our entire house was that we would be the type of people that worshiped God and honored Him in our life. I had a good friend named Reverend James Kaysen who pastored in Greenville. He was one of my father's best friends. He and I often hunted deer together and would do other things together, so he was a family friend. And one day, as a young person sitting at the table, I remember him looking across the table and asking this question to me. "And Terry, what would God have you to do? What does God want you to do?" As I remember those times together, that is a question that always echoes across my soul. God, what is it you want me to do? Where is it you want me to go? What is it you would have me to say? As I think about that time in my life, I will admit that it was not the best spiritual time for me. And since that meal, there have been resurrection experiences for me. And I would pray that that would be the same for you. That just like these disciples that we are reading about today, they had a resurrection experience. I would hope that we too would have numerous types of resurrection experiences in our lives. And that we would also realize how important meal times are. The times when we fellowship together and we share and we talk and we give guidance. I'm always reminded in a time like this when the young boy was sitting at the meal at home with his mom and dad, and they were criticizing the worship service that day and criticizing the preacher and criticizing the hymn selections and all the other things. And the little fellow looked up and says, "Well, it wasn't a bad show for a dollar." So we have had all these types of conversations around the meal table. And they do give guidance to those who are listening. Leonard Sweet, in his sermon After the Tomb, the Table, says, "Never underestimate the power of table talk." The mission of the apostles begins not with a visit to the empty tomb, but with a conversation over a piece of broiled fish. His statement is that while the empty tomb is of huge importance to our faith, it's what happens at the table after the tomb which spurs this movement forward. In today's reading, as I've already mentioned, we are at Easter evening, a day that has never packed much punch in the Methodist church year, because it involves, I guess, a table more than a tomb. The other day, while discussing this passage of Scripture with Emmy and Larry there in the office, and Larry made the statement, said some churches will be having a special service on Thursday because Thursday is actually the day when we ascribe to the ascension. This is a Sunday when we remember that day. And as we find that two of the disciples race back to Jerusalem in another encounter, and they find their 11 companions in a dining room, Jesus appears there in the midst of them and scares them half to death. They think they are seeing a ghost, but Jesus says, "Touch me and see, for a ghost does not have flesh and bone as you see I have." And then he asks them for some food. They give him a piece of broiled fish and he eats it at their table. And they're sitting around the table and Jesus says, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you. Everything written about me in the law and the prophets and Moses and the Psalms must be fulfilled." And then the scripture says, and he opened their minds to understand the scriptures and says to them, "What was written there is true. The Messiah has suffered and has risen from the dead. And now repentance and forgiveness of sins is to be proclaimed in his name to all the nations, beginning in Jerusalem." I can imagine these disciples as they are sitting around the table and they are wondering how in the world this work is going to be done. They are still closed in with fear. They still have not had that resurrection, renewing, empowering experience of Pentecost yet. Jesus looks at them and says, "You are witnesses of these things. And I am sending you. My Father has promised that he will endure you with power from on high. Go to Jerusalem and stay there." Peter. Seems like it's always Peter. Peter and the disciples cast lots and they picked Matthias to take Judas's place. I shared in our study on Romans that the disciples picked Matthias, but God picked Paul. As I think about this encounter and those experiences in my life, when I needed a fresh empowering of God's Spirit, Jesus tells these disciples, go to Jerusalem and tarry there until you be endued with power. He did not tell them to go and to be choosing disciples. Jesus takes them out to Bethany, gives them a blessing, and is carried into heaven. Easter evening ends with the ascension. I can only imagine the experience the disciples must have felt. Scripture says they did go to Jerusalem and spent time there in the temple praising God. But I think about those times in my life when I have lost a loved one or loved ones, parents, close relatives, friends. I have been with friends who have lost children. I think about that void. Some of you as parents experience the empty nest. I know that feeling as well. There are other times in our lives when there is a void that needs to be filled. And I suspect, regardless of what's happening in the lives of these disciples at this time, they have a sense of a lostness. At a table full of food and broil fish and conversation, they hear the direction that God is calling them. I think it's important for us to digest the importance of what's happening when we break bread together. This day we come here for the last Sunday of Eastertide to share this Eucharistic meal. We have been encouraged to come here in love for each other. We have embraced the reality that sometimes we come to this table with our own doubts and struggles and fears. And we come here today with different issues, maybe, but encouraged to have a missional theology, encouraged to have a practical discipline, Christian discipline within our lives that does not build barriers for others who see us in our actions. It's important to remember that the disciples acknowledged who Jesus was when he took bread, blessed it and broke it and gave it to them. It was at an after-dinner conversation where the disciples received their marching orders. Jesus wants his followers to be a part of the legacy that he proclaimed, the message of repentance and forgiveness, He wants his disciples to maintain the cycle of gratitude and generosity that they're feeling in his presence. A gratitude that death has been conquered by the resurrection and generosity toward those who need to hear this good news. Jesus leaves everything to his spiritual brothers and sisters, including the keys to the kingdom. He promises the Holy Spirit to empower us to take the good news of resurrection to all the world. And it begins right here, right now, at his table. I would remind you again, as always, as we prepare to go through the liturgy that's printed, given to you in your, as an insert in your bulletin, that we as United Methodists do not bar the communion rail. You are invited to come here to this table, as John Wesley said, if your heart is as our heart. So after going through this liturgy, if you agree with what we profess, then you are more than welcome to come and receive these elements to your spiritual blessing. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy Supper that we are about to celebrate is a feast of remembrance, of communion, and of hope. God be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the living God. Holy God, in the beginning was darkness, mystery, and you. By your own word, you shattered the darkness with light. You set in the sky radiant beams of sunlight and punctured the night sky with sparkling jewels. You forever changed our darkness. Holy God, though there are shadows and worries, you have placed your word in us to be a lamp for our feet. You have given your spirit like a bright guiding star. You fill us with your love as glorious as the sun. You place your truth like a crescent moon. Every darkness is overcome with light, and every light contains shafts of your eternal light. God of the sun and the stars, we praise you. And with all the creatures of earth and all the company of heaven, we join their unending hymn. Oh. Holy, holy, holy. Ever persistent and ever loving God, you placed a star in the sky to guide people from far and near to your child. Jesus became the light of the world, drawing the last, the lost and the forgotten, the hurt and the wounded, the oppressed and depressed to the wellspring of life. He changed water into wine, called unheralded workers to be disciples, preached good news to the poor, healed the sick, and beckon people to love their neighbor. By his baptism, death, and resurrection and ascension, he revealed the depths of your love and the power of light over darkness. On the night he gave himself up for us, Jesus gathered with his friends. He took bread, blessed it, broke it, gave it to his followers, saying, "Take, eat, this is my life broken for you." And likewise he took the cup, blessed it, and gave it to his disciples. "Drink this, all of you. For this is my life poured out for you and for all for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in remembrance of me. Therefore, holy God, grant that in praise and thanksgiving we may be a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable in your sight, and that our lives may proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Pour out your Holy Spirit upon us in these gifts of bread and wine, that through Christ's presence we may become a beacon of holy light, a source of joy, a witness for peace. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, one who seeks far and near, and one in ministry to all the world, until we feast again at the heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit and your Holy Church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty God, now and forever. And now, with the confidence of children of God, let us pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. The bread we break is the bread of life. And the cup we share is the cup of the New Testament in Christ's blood. I invite those who are assisting me to come now, please. Jesus Christ. You take this in, certainly. You serve me. You serve me. Amen. Thanks be to God.
the Lord Jesus Christ. Body of our Lord Jesus Christ.
please join me in the unison prayer following communion. You come to set our spirits aglow, O God. For this we are grateful. Send us from this table to be genuine in our love and constant in our prayers. Grant that we may not weary in zeal, but rejoice in hope. Let our love be genuine. Amen.
I invite you to be seated, and Gary, would you come, please?
Good morning. I'm Gary Patterson, and I'm the chairman of the Staff Parish Committee. This committee has several duties, and one of these is to work with the pastor, the district superintendent, and bishop concerning the appointment of pastors, which is done on a yearly basis. Even though word has leaked out for weeks through the Methodist grapevine, Terry and Linda will be leaving us, and Reverend Phil Threlkell and his wife, Lori, will be joining us from St. Luke United Methodist Church in Hartsville. This announcement is a culmination of process that began back in February and will be finalized at the annual conference in Florence. But as all Methodists know, nothing is finally final until conference. Terry and Linda's last Sunday will be June 24th, and we will be hosting an appreciation dinner for them after church. All kinds of emotions are stirred when one pastor leaves and another one arrives. So I ask you to pray for the Martins and the Threlkells and for our church that we may be faithful to Christ and to one another during this time of transition. I'll remain at the front if anybody has any questions. We promise to keep you informed as we move through this time of change together. Thank you, Main Street, for being God's faithful people.
It's not easy to be the chairperson of the PPRC, and Gary, I thank you for sharing this message with the congregation, and that God will continue to give you strength. And the PPRC as well. Let us stand together for the benediction. Go out into the world in your words and in your lives. Bear witness to the Christ who has ascended to be everywhere present. And as you come to know him, may God give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation. May Christ Jesus lift up his hands and bless you. And may the Spirit open to you all the riches of Christ's inheritance. Amen.
Your